You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm your host, Kate Wolf. Joe Sanagato is not here right now. He is working, but we have Timothy Paul Rothschild in the house.
You betcha. Thanks for having me. I always fill in whenever Joe's not around or whenever things are getting a little
slow. No, you're normally here when Joe is here, actually.
That's right.
Because I like when you come and just blow everyone's mind.
Yeah, I don't know. What role am I playing this time? Can I be myself or do I have to just inject information into the matrix?
Can you be funny this time, Tim?
I'm going to try my best. But if you ask me one question.
I'm going to put pressure on you to be funny just to make you fail.
When you see me get into that zone where I can't answer anything without offering like a yes and no and it's about the process, then just reel me back.
Well, first of all, you're very, very, this is going to sound so gay, but you're very, very funny in
real life. Yeah, I agree.
And I think you're funny somewhat on podcasts, but since you get in that state where you just want to get information out, I feel like a lot of times they don't get to see that you're actually really funny.
No, it's true. You know, I hadn't been behind a microphone until we started Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole. So I came on board thinking, okay, I have to, you know, get all this information out that, you know, and that'll be that, without realizing that I was excluding the complete other half of myself, which is, you know, I do have a soul.
Can we talk about your love for this podcast called The Fighter and the Kid?
Yes, of course we can.
I feel like it's brought out that side of you a little bit more.
Well, without a doubt, I think I was on like 4 to 6 hours a day. If anyone hasn't listened to The Fighter and the Kid, Brendan Schaub, he's a UFC fighter, right? He's one of the top 10 in the world. I don't know where he is now because I don't even watch the UFC, but I will listen to this guy break down fights with Brian Callen, who's a 48-year-old comedian. He's a best friend with Brendan. And so Brian's 48, Brendan is 31, the fighter is Brendan. And I forgot what it was like to have that sort of bravado, that kind of confidence. You know what I mean? I think I called up Kate. You know, we had broken up since then. I called her up after listening to these podcasts and just charmed her pants off of her.
I was
on such a fucking tear. I remembered what it was like, but when I was like a jock, you know what I mean? And I walked into any bar, walked to any frat house, and I could just do whatever I wanted. Nobody could tell me anything that wasn't right, and I would just smile and like make a joke or whatever. So I was just like channeling this Brendan Schaub energy. And just got it done. I told her I was going to come on this and do it too.
All right.
I said I was going to have her pants off her by the end of the
podcast.
You're charming me right now.
Yeah.
I swear to God. Pants are coming off.
Yeah. Joe, our producer's a little wet. I'm fine
Super
right now.
Super wet.
I'm in a different zone. No, but it's true. But you know, it's not just, you're talking about the bravado. I feel like you just tuned in to being like really charming and funny. Like, do you know what I mean? I don't know. I just feel like you were loose. You called me and you were just being so funny and...
I wasn't locked into the whole I have to save the world bullshit.
I mean, which we're going to get into. But, I didn't tell anyone on the podcast yet that we had broken up.
Oh, you hadn't yet?
No.
Oh, my God. Well...
Did you talk about it on your podcast?
I don't think so. I think I've successfully avoided it a few times, actually, because I don't want, you know, it's about the information over there.
So I feel like I'm, like, looking right into the camera, like... So, yeah, we broke up.
Yeah. Yeah, we broke up.
Still. Tim took my cats.
Still fucking.
Tim!
What can I say?
Every now and then he penetrates me.
I had I had an issue with the kittens this morning. I apologize. I tried to introduce them to Casey again, and I let them kind of...
Casey is...
My yellow lab.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't go well. Didn't go well. Casey actually ended up nibbling on Hanu's butt a little bit. Not too bad. But I did spend the next 2 hours... being a little rattled and checking up on Hanu was fine. The kittens were fine. They were, you know, they don't care. They forgot about it like 2 seconds later, but I thought it was like maybe my own thing. I kept watching them to make sure that there wasn't any like trauma.
For people who don't know, these kitties are my babies still too. Like they're the loves. So
if the kitties are your babies, then Shane is still my baby.
So such an ass.
Yeah.
See, there you go, guys. Look, Tim's being funny.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into a little bit of what we want to talk about, because we definitely want to talk about spiritual stuff, obviously, but not, I don't want to go in a way where we're just like off talking about angels and Jesus.
Well, bring me back.
Okay. Well, I can get there too. That's what I'm saying. So I want to make sure. Okay. So first of all, the first thing I want to talk about, there's a movie that you and I both saw called Carmageddon. And yeah. I definitely think if you're interested in this kind of stuff, check it out. I found it really interesting. But what it's about, it follows this guy who calls himself a guru. I don't think other people call him a guru. He's a kirtan singer who is very, very in the spiritual world. His name's Bhagavan Das. And a lot of people, though, follow him. They go to listen to him, and he also definitely gives speeches. So people look up to him. And the documentary is about one of his quote-unquote followers, Jeff Brown, who's the guy I totally love. I quote him all the time. But Jeff Brown loves this guy. And then as he lets the guy stay in his house to do this documentary on him, and he comes disenchanted with who he is because he has a lot of unhealed things. Like the way he talks about women, he objectifies them. He hits on young women and kind of preys on them. He was at Jeff Brown's house and like started hitting on his girlfriend that lives with him. So he just started doing things that really started pissing off Jeff Brown.
And he was doing it all under the guise of being an enlightened being and sort of doing that gaslighting thing where you could, you know, no matter what somebody says, you're able to twist it around in such a way that says, hey, I was actually teaching you a lesson. So if things went south.
I feel like you do that sometimes.
I have that ability.
Me off.
Well, that's what I said. Well, that was old Tim, right? That's what Brendan Schaub started to bring out of me again. So I started playing with it a little bit.
The other day. I like that I saved for the podcast to tell you this. This is awesome. The other day we were talking, and I'm trying to claim my power. This is something I'm working on, right?
Trying to claim your power.
I'm just saying,
trying to claim your power as if somebody can take it away from you.
Okay, well, I had a childhood where I wasn't feeling able to claim my power. It wasn't the kind of environment that nurtured that. Yeah. So now, which I'm working on through the spiritual school I'm in and that you're in, and through like the therapy, the spiritual healings, it's about really, it's kind of like stepping into that power and just claiming it more and remembering that I'm powerful. And I'm telling you, and you just started, the way you were doing it, I felt it reminded me of Bhagavan Das, where you're like, you're welcome for showing you. And I'm like, that's such bullshit. Like, and I feel like I used to fall for that my whole life of like someone who's like, you're welcome. And now I'm like, I just want, you know, friends and people who are like, yeah, you're
the shit. I'm sure I wasn't joking about that.
No, we got, I hung up on you.
Oh, did you?
Not like hung up, but we were both like, bye.
Why don't I remember this conversation at all?
Maybe you were high. I don't know.
I don't know. Who knows?
But we should talk about how I got high recently again.
If you want to, you just got to stop doing that. Gotta stop, I make it look so damn cool. I'm done.
Yeah.
Well, no, let's talk about what you were saying about the master salesman stuff, right? So the reason why you wanted to bring up Bhagavan Das in the documentary Carmageddon, highly recommend it for anybody that is interested in the spiritual path because it gets fucking weird. You know, you can run into these people who claim to be gurus, these people who claim to have an understanding of what this stuff is, and they may have the ability to like blast off into the cosmos and see things in a psychedelic point of view, right? They may have good information to present to you, but then they have these, what we would call in the school, uncooked seeds themselves, right? So the whole process, that whole
which is also, you could call some like unhealed. They're unhealed.
Unhealed, uncooked seeds, and unhealed ego, you know, where, you know, if they're smart and they're almost there and they have information that may not be available to you because you're stuck in the, you know, hardcore physical reality and you don't have that ability to see that shit, you can be taken advantage of, right? So the reason why it really rubbed me the wrong way when I saw what Bhagavan Das was doing is because he was taking the role of the master salesman, right? And a big part of what the mission that I've put myself on is to get people to understand that you're not in the land of the free here. You're in the land of the mind fucked, run by the master salesman, right? And the way the master salesman works is they create an entirely new reality that you may not be completely familiar with, right? So, for instance, spirituality. So you come in there and you're singing these spiritual songs. You're singing these the names of God. You're planting seeds of enlightenment to be, you know, nurtured later on when the environment is right. And oh my God, this person is making me feel so good. They're using this language that they have, and they have a great story. You know, Bhagavan Das has this story from the saint that I love, Neem Karoli Baba, same guy that Ram Das came from, Krishna Das. If you don't know these names, look them up. They're all fantastic people to learn from.
So because, yeah, so Neem Karoli Baba is a guy who was a saint. He was amazing, and he was the real deal. So a lot of times when you know that a guy studied under him or was a part of that, you go, oh, let me listen to what this guy has to say. He must know what he's talking about. Because Ram Dass, who's probably his most well-known, what would you call him, follower or...
You know, someone who's speaking, you know, the information.
Yeah,
you know,
Ram Dass,
some people call him a guru, but, you know, he's a teacher.
Ram Dass is, like, to me, a real deal kind of person. I'm not saying he's gotten every single thing figured out, but he's pretty on point.
He doesn't make you feel gross when you listen to him.
And that's the thing, though, because when Bhagavan Dass was sitting at dinner with Jeff Brown and those people, you could see he was trying, Bhagavan Dass was trying to sell his bullshit.
Yeah.
And it's still, if there's that gut feeling you get that they started getting and rolling their eyes, where it just feels gross, it feels off.
He had an answer for everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's like your first indication, you know. But
and he went into their house and like stole things from them.
Let them see the movie. Okay. Let them see the movie. But like, but
just
for
things
sure.
like that. And then it would almost be like, you're welcome. Like, I showed you what you need to work on. And
for
it's
sure,
like,
for sure.
Like, you can't have someone punch you in the face and be like, you're welcome. You saw that your face needs to get stronger. It's like, no, you just fucking punched me in the face.
And what rubbed me the wrong way was that, you know, being somebody who came out of the sales world, who understood what it took in order to walk customers through that process of creating these realities. By the time they figure it out, you've already sold them on the product and they're getting, you know, giving you referrals. And now, you know, buyer's remorse pops up after they buy something. And then, you know, you do the right thing to and say the right thing that gets them to.
Yeah, because you were, I mean, not that you still have that salesman thing in you.
Sure.
But you used to, you really know how to use those tactics to sell someone on an idea.
For sure, yeah.
And you used to be slimier about it back in the day.
For sure. It was, well, it wasn't, you know, it was slimy. If you look back on it now, it seems slimy, but based on how
you
I understood
were just
the
doing
world
your
at
job.
The time, I was doing what I thought I was doing my job. It rubbed
but
me the wrong way,
though,
for sure.
Didn't you use those strategic tactics to even get women? Like, didn't it cross over?
Oh, yeah.
That's
oh,
what
yeah.
I'm saying.
Transferable qualities everywhere. I could get anything that I wanted wherever I wanted it.
Well, you told me, I don't think you ever did this. Maybe you told me or someone else did. I might have talked about this on the podcast where, right, where like
the,
you'd say to a
next,
girl,
well,
you have something on your lip to make them, even though they don't, to make them feel self-conscious. So now the power gets switched.
Yeah.
Like that to me is so fucked.
Well, there's a real process to doing that. The miss, you know, we say we go to mystery school, but there's a guy named Mystery who wrote dating books based on, you know about these?
Maybe.
There's several of them. I mean, when you
I
first
know
get
the,
into...
The Game. There's a book called The Game.
Yeah,
that...
he wrote that,
okay.
Among others. And
the guys who read The Game and actually still use it, I'm sorry. You're using strategy. Why can't you just be yourself?
Well, because they, you know...
Oh, because they don't feel that they can
well,
yet.
No, well, because they don't understand. I mean, well, there's a process, you know? If you know that you want to take a girl home in bed, right? And it's not about spirituality or fulfillment or, you know, seeing their soul, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck it. Like, what's the quickest path to get there? That's sales. Sales says you have an objective and the ends justify the means, right? So you're just going to hack this person's mind, hack a certain system. So you're gonna show up, right?
That's just so frightening to me.
Yeah, I'm going to start a set because I'm in there with three other predators at this point, right? I mean, we've been talking about this. This is just practice for us at this point. We've got our suits on. I just came back from door knocking.
You're getting fired up.
TV, phone, and internet. You know, I've raised people's impulses and gotten their social security numbers on their doorstep all day long. I'm training teams how to do this. Then at night, we still have our suits on. We go out and we start sets, you know? So you literally create these invisible nets for women to walk into, and they have no fucking clue what's coming.
Of course, because we're thinking like tonight could be the night I meet my soulmate.
Oh, and you will. You'll think you will.
Yeah, you think you will.
Damn right. By the time you figure it out, I'm already out the door.
I don't know. That just feels wrong to me.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, you know, been there, done that, like, a lot of times, you know? So let me set it up for you. You show in there.
Tim has
you.
Dipped his penis in many a vagina.
Yeah, you betcha. A lot of antibiotics, my friend.
Oh, Tim. I am STD free,
And
everyone.
Then probiotics. Gotta always replace it, you know, with the good stuff. All right, so you show up. And you've got like at least one to three friends with you, and you start what's called a set. You know, you walk.
Keep going.
In
I'm looking to see if anyone's tweeting because we're doing live.
Sure. And so you start a set. And I'd really like your attention here while I'm telling you exactly how you're going to get fooled now that you're single.
You're right. Let's go.
All right. I don't want you falling for this shit. So you show up
he just cares so much about me, everybody.
This is the gaslighting. Yeah, I'm creating this new, I'm going to walk you into this new reality.
Tim is looking out for me.
100% your parents are coming off by the end of this podcast.
My pants.
So you walk
no,
in.
No, when I have the,
I'm
when
never
going
to get to
have,
this.
Sorry. When I'm behind the microphone and I have these on, I feel so confident.
God, you've stepped into
your
power.
I want to have, yeah. You're such a dick. No, but I do. Like, I literally, I wish I always felt this confident all the time. Or, you know, like when you're in the car and you're singing aloud to a song, like that kind of confidence.
I don't know. I got caught singing to a song one time, looked in my rearview mirror, and there's two, like, 14-year-olds laughing hysterically at me. Felt like shit for about 2 hours.
Because you got caught in that.
Yeah.
But before that, you probably were rocking it.
Yeah, but if it was really my power, I would have stepped out of the car, said what's up to them, started a set.
I don't know.
Moved
I
them
like,
to a new
you
environment.
Know what, though? I like insecurities. I think insecurities, you don't, I don't know. I think they're really endearing in a person. When someone gets insecure, like when you send a text and you're like, did you have fun with me?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's so
it's just another invisible
endearing.
Net. That's just another
invisible. Are you serious?
Well, it depends on the intent. It could be used for
you
that.
You didn't do it like that,
no,
did
no,
you?
No, not with you.
God. You're fucking... Did you or no?
It depends. Depends on the day.
Why would you do that to me?
It's just fucking around. You're just fucking around, you know? Like, it's not like my, you know, my intent is, you know, you're going to be coming home, right? So, like, I'm going to show you a good time. So, it's either me. So, it's either me or the other guy that's putting out invisible nets. You know what I mean?
Can't I just meet someone who's not putting out invisible nets and just... Is
yeah.
being sweet and
yeah,
himself.
Yeah, for sure. Except he's at home reading books, trying to figure out how to do, you know, teaching himself Reiki healing and stuff. I did both of them. It's not easy. There's a lot of, you know, if you want to go hunting, you got to go out hunting.
Yeah, but
I'm
saying is,
with you. I'm
why are
you?
Like, so, I'm not a piece of meat that you need to hunt.
I'm with you.
So that's. Oh,
that's what
God.
That's see,
yeah
so,
I have questions about this
Andy so, I'm ask a question
well I'm just confused do you think all guys do this or because
no.
I don't
that.
Feel this like when I have a girlfriend but like I don't feel like I'm like doing like setting these nets and
no.
stuff that you're talking about
because you're because
so.
You're in love and it was a real relationship
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
saying,
also you listen he Tim is coming from alpha male like he was professional college he was the man
yeah
so I feel like some of that still trickles in
only when I want to use it as a joke or if you I mean
because I know the real Tim the real Tim's yeah. a sweet little 8-year-old chubby kid with butterflies landing on
often,
him he doesn't
often.
Cast nets
no.
for this and go
butterfly nets,
he's the
maybe.
One it's that 8-year-old that would actually be like did you have fun and mean it
yeah
and that's what I find endearing when someone's
okay,
insecure
yeah.
when someone actually has a moment of like do you not like me anymore or something I'm like oh my God that's so cute and sweet
sure
when I get like that in the relationship I felt like it grossed you out
what No. If you want to talk about our relationship?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let's get into it. See, what gross... all right, first, I want to address previously. Like, I'm not like that anymore. I don't use gross sales tactics to get to where I'm going because of the spiritual work and the development that I've gone through.
You're healing
you know what I mean?
That
yeah,
part.
I'm healing that ego part. So there's no more power plays. When I'm looking at people, I don't have predatory eyes. I'm not looking for power control. I'm actually trying to receive and check out their aura and see what I can do for them in terms of healing and that kind of stuff.
We just started talking about predatory eyes yeah. in a spiritual class this past weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so
because a lot of us look out with hypervigilance,
yeah.
and you're not letting, you're not receiving.
So okay, so you're at the point in the class where they taught you how to see people's auras, perhaps, right?
We haven't really. So, they're starting, I guess.
So, but what they've done is they say, you know what? You think you're born. So you're at the class where they say you're born, and you're taught that eyes are for seeing, ears are for hearing, fingers are for touching, that kind of thing. But you can actually touch with your eyes. You can actually hear with your skin.
Well, that's what they're
that
starting.
Of,
yeah.
So you went through the process where they had, you know, you sat across from somebody.
Are you allowed to give
and you
all
got
this?
You got to see the smoke. What? This, I'm here to teach the school tolerance. I've already told you that. My check just bounced from an already delayed check. I'm two classes behind. I just had the head of the school. I just had an hour healing with her. And
by the way, everyone who's listening, if you're in the New York area, Tim and I will be reading tarot at the Brooklyn Bazaar all the whole month of April.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to get a reading, some of the nights we'll be there together. Some will be there individually. But if you want to come get a reading, meet us, come to the Brooklyn Bazaar.
Yeah, Fridays and Saturday nights. It's actually super fun. It's super fun and nonstop.
Yeah, live music. You'll get food. So just come swing by. It'll be great.
And please do, because otherwise I can't pay for the school and I can continue my healing ways.
And come, I think it starts at 7. Come towards the beginning if you can, if you do want to actually talk to us and meet us, because it starts getting really crazy towards the end. So
and about
hard.
Every 5 people cry. So heads up.
Thank you, Tim, for telling people. All right, well, keep going. Sorry. So you're talking about the class. We're talking about you being bad with insecurities. So,
because I like going back to, you know, where I was at that point. Because what they're actually doing is waking up parts of yourself that you didn't know. Since they woke these things up in you, now you just watch them unfold over the next couple months.
Oh, man,
right?
It's been, first of all, it has been, because I'm in the first year, so they're taken down. You really start looking at your defense mechanisms, and I mean, I've been, it's a lot. Yeah. My reality's changing.
For sure. So you're going to have like crazy ass dreams, which I already know you're having. You're going to have like these interactions with people, like just things are going to start changing. And what I mean is like they've woken up these new muscles that you never even knew existed. So you're not going to have these predatory eyes, because now you're going to be like a baby's eyes, you know, like the big eyes that you know, science actually says that babies have big eyes because it makes you not want to kill them. It's like a really weird, you know, evolutionary thing, you know, but at the same time, the baby's eyes are super soft because it's receiving information. It hasn't yet learned what it needs to.
They're trying to reteach us in the school to have that baby, that baby eyesight.
And it turns out that when you do, you know, work on that, the crazy shit starts happening. Things start to become more crystalline. They light up. You can, you know, for me especially, because for whatever reason that it's one of my talents, I can see the crazy colored auras around people. So I know when someone has a crazy idea, these things happen, you know? So
by the way, every time we get into a fight, can we just do a podcast and talk about it on a podcast?
Done. Of course. More content. I need more content.
Yeah, we could actually do it. We could like get the camera out and even do it.
Yeah. And then we could never live our lives for ourselves. We could just do it for the people.
I love that.
Yeah,
idea.
We can let go of all responsibility and just.
We would make a great reality show, though.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, who wants to see meditation and crying all day long?
No, you and I had still. We have. Please. I love how we act like that. We're not floating on clouds, Tim. You and I still have fucking drama.
I didn't say I was crying while floating on a crowd. I said I was crying.
A crowd?
Crowd. Crying on a crowd.
Wait, keep going with you wanted to defend yourself with the insecurity thing.
Well, I don't have these predatory eyes anymore. Is basically what I'm saying. So I'm not acting like what was asked of us. I'm not using these sales tactics like I once was.
No, I know that. Listen.
Isn't that where we're going? I just wanted to wrap that up.
Okay. The Tim that you were probably even 3 years ago, I never met that Tim. You know what I mean? Like, I think the Tim I met, which was a year ago, you were already on the spiritual path. I don't think you were trying to work me. I never got that feeling. You definitely, the night we met, you had just had spiritual school and you stood in the corner of the comedy club with your arms wrapped around you.
Like, I was holding myself.
You were not
for sure.
Kicking game.
No.
I wasn't kicking game either. I was just so excited to talk to someone
you were
about
on
this
me,
shit.
Like, a bee on honey.
But not in like a sexual, like I wasn't being flirty or I was not. I was, my kid was there on a scooter. I was just so excited to talk to someone about this stuff.
Yeah.
Like this is obviously what we're into.
Within the first 3 minutes of meeting Kate, I tried to explain the holographic nature of reality.
Exactly. And I was talking about like the purple energy I saw, and you were talking about your brother passing and him coming back in dreams. Like we were not flirting. We weren't like.
I broke out the brother line.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I asked what had woke you up to
okay,
this stuff.
Gotcha,
so that's
gotcha.
Why. But no. So, yeah, I'm not saying that you are slimy or whatever. But I'm saying we were just talking about the insecurities thing because we had gone on that. Whereas I think just being yourself, and I think everyone has insecurities. Yeah, some people are more insecure than others. But I found at times, depending on how patient you were or what you were going through, that was one of the biggest things that, in my eyes, made it frictiony. Is like you would get so, like you expected me to man up more or something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm definitely a hard ass, you know. But
and I'm like
that's
the opposite of a hard ass.
Yeah.
Like that's what you said. When we got into that powerful fight, you're like, you wouldn't survive a day in a men's locker room. I was like, no shit.
Wait, back up. Into that powerful fight. What was our powerful fight?
No, the fight about power.
Okay.
Not a powerful
fight. Oh, that's because, no, that's because as a joke, in a joking way, in play, right? Guys in the locker room, we poke at each other. If there's a weakness in somebody's like game, you know, the whole point is this is why the fighter and the kid like woke me. I went, oh my God. I was being so careful for like the last 2 years because I wanted to be nice and compassionate and loving and all that stuff. But I'd lost such a big part of myself, right? And that was that part of me that doesn't necessarily have to go away when you fill yourself up with the ability to love more, right? And it reminded me because I wanted it. I remember what it was like to be bashing somebody, right? So like somebody would be crying, you know, and new Tim would be like, oh my God, are you okay? And there's a good chance that I might cry too. I'll give you a story. Christy Stefano, I'm at Levity Live with him, right? And he tells me a story about a personal thing where a friend had really hurt him, right? And he's not even crying. I'm the one crying in the green room. I still wake up with anxiety about how weird
okay,
that
okay,
situation
okay,
was.
Okay.
Okay, still.
Tim, I love your passion right now. Hold on. So yes, I get what you're saying. And it's when I lived with Jay and Eitan, my, you know, they're two of my closest friends. Part of what we made a funny sketch about, because they would always say to each other, like, yo, your mom's pussy is so big. And I'd be like, what are you two doing? Like, you guys just wake up talking about how gross your other mom's pussy is, but how you still fucked her. And they were like, yeah, that's how we talk, Kate. And like, it became funny because I started saying it about their dad's dicks. And it's just ridiculous.
But what I'm saying is it's even more than that. It's more about, it's about making each person stronger. You know, so if one of my best friends starts crying now, like say Mike Cannon or whatever, like we're hanging out in the living room, say it's 11 in the morning, we're drinking a double-sized bottle of wine. I don't know why it usually happens, right? One of us starts crying, the other one's not going to be like, dude, are you okay? We're going to be like, you're a fucking pussy, you know? And then
I don't like that.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and, no, and, that's the way it goes. Yeah.
And that's because that is an agreed upon way to just, like, it's an acknowledgement because we love each other so much. It's an acknowledgement that I'm here for you.
Sure.
And it also, at the same time, look at the chink in your armor. I'm going to take a shot.
I'm going to exploit it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing.
Because it's roughhousing.
Exactly.
Okay, got it. Now, here's the thing, because this is all about choice. There's no right or wrong way to
here
handle
we go.
It.
Choice.
But for me, I am too, I don't want to say I'm too soft because there's no too. I'm very soft.
Yeah.
So for me, you were too tough for me.
For sure.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm as fiery as I get and stuff like that. I'm a fuck. You used to say in the beginning, you'd have to remind yourself I'm a delicate flower.
No, like, delicate flower.
I'm very fiery. I get on stage. I talk about my vagina. I have a toughness to me, but deep down I am a fucking puss. So when I start getting insecure, I am. So like, you know, I want someone who's just going to be like, you know what it is? Because I'll call Tina. My friend Tina's very sensitive too. I'll call her upset and it only takes her 30 seconds. She'll go, yeah, dude, I fucking know that blows. The moment someone meets you wherever you're at, it makes it, do you know what I mean? Like it.
Sure. No, I'm with you.
So that's
there.
All I'm saying. I'm like, too. Like
with clients with healing, I'm going to meet them right there, right where they are. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But with my best friends and stuff, what I'm saying, what I forgot about was what it was like in like the locker rooms to just not give a fuck, to just let it out, be free. You know, and that's what happened when I called you that night. And you're just like, you sound so free. I won't say anything else. Okay. I mean, you sound so free, whatever, because I just listened to maybe my fourth hour of Fighter and the Kid.
No.
And I was like, I remember.
But listen. But see there.
Yeah.
You know, if you were being tough on me, I wouldn't have fallen for it. Or not that I fell, because I don't.
You fell hard.
Oh, God.
Hard.
No, because that sounds like you kicked game, okay?
Kicked so much game.
You did not kick. It's
so,
me.
Kicked so
you
much
kick game.
Game. So much. You melted. If you were in my hand, you would have melted.
You're such a dick. God.
That's one thing we have to take pride in as guys, though. Just to let you know.
So much.
Just
dick.
Like, not even like, the kicking game
you
part.
You lived
but
with me. We had cats.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't. Like, it's like, I get it. You charmed me, but it's also me. Like, I also love who
okay,
he
I'm gonna
is.
Okay, I'm going to say.
Okay, that's it. It's the charming part.
It's
got
because
her.
I actually
yeah.
love him and who he yes. is. And what I felt in that moment was actually not tough guy alpha male Tim. It was that free. It was like a goofy, funny, like you were like, hey, if you come over, I have a whole vegetable drawer filled with food. What do you want? What do you want tomorrow morning? Like,
it's way better than that.
Okay. Well,
I was describing the meals I make, what kind
okay,
of spices
I'm
there
saying,
would be.
Got
let's,
it.
Let's, all right, let's lay it out there then if you're going to start going this far. So Kate had been asleep for an hour.
No, we're not laying
asleep.
It out.
She
get
had
over
been
here.
Asleep for
no,
an hour,
we're not.
And I
no,
had
Timothy.
Just arrived home.
Timothy Paul.
Pretty drunk. Okay.
I've looked for something to throw
Kate
at you.
Kate lives about
Yo,
45.
Tim! No!
Okay. We'll fit. You guys can put pieces together from there.
I.
With vegetables alone.
Ugh.
She got out of bed.
You're so annoying.
Drove to my house.
You're such a dick. But let me say something. Part of the reason why I drove to you and not vice versa, and I'm dead serious, is because of the cats. I don't ask you to come to see me because I seriously though, you know that's true because
no,
you have to
you.
Be there for the cats,
sure.
And I like seeing the cats.
Yeah.
So that's also why I drive there. Let's not get it twisted. Okay.
I'm not getting it twisted.
Tim, the man.
No. I'm not saying I'm the man.
My point is,
I'm just saying with
what
the vegetable
got me
drawer,
to drive over there at fucking midnight? Okay.
Yeah.
Is the fact that I actually really love your soul.
It was because
of the
kittens. I get it. It was because of the kittens.
No,
I understand. I get what you're trying to say.
No, because if there weren't kittens, I'd be like, you drive to me.
If there weren't kittens.
I'd say you drive to me.
Okay.
The reason why I drive to you is because of kittens.
Okay. I'm glad I got the kittens. Right?
Yeah.
Metaphorical kittens.
Yeah.
So let's talk about choice, Kate.
No. Okay. Hold on. I'm not done. The reason why I drove there is because I love your soul, and what was coming out was I felt that free fun, Tim.
Yeah.
That a lot of times, no, because, well, sometimes. Sometimes you're tight ass, and it's like there's a pole up your fucking ass.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the pressure I put on myself.
I know, because you're always taking in information.
Yeah, when you put the weight of the world on your back.
Well, let's talk. I want to talk about saving the world.
Okay.
Well, okay, well, we'll talk about choice and then saving the world.
Whatever
you want. That's the stuff I want to get to.
Whatever you want.
The choice thing is really I've already realized this, but it's linked to the judgmental part of myself that we've talked about on the podcast.
Yeah.
I don't think you were here, but I was judging because I thought there was a certain right way or more spiritual way.
Yeah. Everybody has an idea of the way things ought to be, right? We have shoulds, we have should nots, and these reveal limitations that we coach ourselves through with concepts. Am I right?
I'm still laughing about the other thing. Keep going.
Well, what I'm saying is, you know, when you start to say this is the way things should or shouldn't be, that's okay if if you're a master salesman and you have a goal that you want to get to and you have an understanding of how to get there. But on the spiritual path to enlightenment and that sort of thing, it doesn't help you. Because yes, no, should not, all
because
these things.
Because the truth is sometimes you have to hit such a rock bottom place before you can even have the momentum to get yourself out. So someone could be like, oh, you shouldn't be doing those drugs. You shouldn't be doing, you have no idea what that person's path looks like.
Yeah, worry about your own damn self.
Exactly. And I was looking at everyone else, not everyone else's. I would date a person way before I've even dated you and focus on their path and their lane and telling them how they should drive instead of staying in my lane, because people do that as a way to avoid themselves and their own work that they have to do.
Sure. Or in the case of, and I know you're going to bring this up and as an example because we talked about it yesterday, or in the case of, my example was I had lost, if I'm going to say it right, it's going to actually get really deep. I had gone through enough stuff in my life where I said, I don't care about me anymore, but I'm not going to kill myself. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to do what other people wouldn't normally do in order to help others. Does that make sense? You know, so I used to use the example of, you know, if I was a patriotic military guy and that's the world I was living in, and say I had nothing else to do, strap a bomb on my chest and have me blow up some terrorists. But I wasn't. I'm a little bit more philosophical, whatever. So I was like, okay, instead, I'm going to sacrifice all of myself to explore the cosmos, these crazy psychedelic environments, bring back as much environment information as I can. And if it kills me, it kills me. At least you have my journal and things like that, right? So I was thinking.
So wait, you're talking about the time in your life when you would do like shrooms like a motherfucker.
That was one way.
And
that
like
was one
cocaine
way.
And all of it.
Well, exploring all the different states of consciousness and at the same time building a network as far and wide as I could based on the understandings of how reality worked. I wanted to create something that was able to save the world from itself without fully understanding what this thing was all about, because I was coming from the viewpoint that like I had nothing left, so I'm gonna give whatever I have left to everybody else, right? And in the process, like in a very romantic story, I ended up finding myself and realizing it's about healing yourself and worry about your own damn self.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really what it's about.
Which I think is finally hitting home for me more and more and more.
Yeah.
You know, it hits home and then it hits home again because you keep spiraling through the same thing. But and that's what, you know, what really, and the other day with, I got high, which I'm going to stop doing because it's not even a little fun.
It's not fun for anybody.
Tim. But like.
You go into this mode where, you know, up, down, yes, no.
But,
you,
it's but like respect this. Where I'm going. It's I'm going.
Yeah, no, I don't know where you're going, but you're gone.
I'm gone.
Definitely very, very far away from where your physical body is for sure. I mean,
I literally could feel. I could literally feel that we are all energy on the
Like this is just from taking.
I could feel
it. I got some pretty good pot. I've arguably the strongest pot in the tri-state area. I've been working on this connection for years.
Okay.
So you take three hits, and you just exit stage left.
Right, but let me just say where I was at. I could literally feel. It wasn't just like, oh, we're energy in the human body. I was like, oh, we're energy. I could feel myself dying a million times a second. I could.
Oh my God.
And
no,
I
know.
And
this
I'm
so
looking
weird.
At you, and you'd go on your rant, you know, that you do in a good way, but I could feel my back, so I was tuning into you, was literally seizing up, and I could feel what happens to you when you download too much information. Like, I was so,
do your
I
listeners
felt
know what you mean when you say download information and all this kind of stuff? Yeah, I mean, that's, we're going pretty deep here.
Tim just wants to, the way Tim lives life is just, he doesn't know how to slow down. It's like, taking information. You're hungry for knowledge. You're hungry, and I get that hunger. I think what's going to be happening is you're learning how to slow it down so your back doesn't seize up because you have actual back problems.
Western science has failed me for sure. Well, there's a thing, you know, like everyone, physical therapists and other people that are in that world. You know, I mean, Dr. Philly, New York Giants specialist. I've gone to the best doctors in the world, and you know, they've diagnosed me with like a million different things. But the only thing that's been helping has been more of like the metaphysical, spiritual healing. Who have literally said, "Hey, you know what? It's not actually from your, you know, from playing college football. It's not from coaching wrestling. It's not from that kind of stuff. It's actually because you're flying through the fucking cosmos and expanding your consciousness so fast, your spiritual and mental bodies are super excited, but your physical body is closing.
Wasn't it physical and emotional?
It's contracting itself so hardcore because it's saying, I don't know how to work with this. You know, so like on the spiritual path, you see that there's the physical reality, which a lot of people just, that's all they're ever going to deal with, you know? But there's all these other realities that we're living in simultaneously. You know, the New Agers got some stuff right by saying we're multidimensional beings. So I prefer, and I've learned in the school, I have a knack for staying in those other realms. You know, I'm here in the physical, that's fine. You can see me, but, you know, often when I close my eyes, you know, it's my experience is a lot different than other people's experiences. You know, that's why I have the metaphysical stuff with connecting to
and
people
you're,
from the
and
other
you're
side.
And you're taking in a lot of the spiritual.
I'm taking in a lot of information.
Very,
and my body,
very quickly. And yes. And from my opinion, it's not
healthy.
Well, it's not you're not integrating all things at once.
No, one's
integrating more.
It's always moving. It's moving forward too fast. Always.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
And your tattoo, you could show, it says live fast,
which is the opposite of how you're supposed to live.
So you're going to tattoo your other
nature,
wrist that says live a little slower.
Nature has no rush. I'm like sitting out in the forest watching the plants. Like in the winter, you know, it's nice and cold. There's not a bird or animal stirring. Everything's just chill. Nothing is moving. Everything works out great. And I'm looking at my tattoo that says live fast and I'm going,
well, what I realized
idiot.
When I got so high was that point for me where I was like, I'm always wishing that I were somewhere else. Like I don't think I'm good enough where I'm at. Like I should be more spiritual or more evolved, you know, making healthier decisions all the time. And then it just clicked where I'm like, no, I'm perfect. Right. This point in my process is perfect.
Yeah.
There's no, cause I was going fast in my own way, which, you know, is hurting me in other ways. So it's like, no, this is all, we're just always evolving. And I felt like I just kept wanting to be the butterfly when every part of that stage.
You are a butterfly.
But you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, no, this is great where I'm at.
Yeah, everything is perfect, but it could be more perfect.
Yeah.
Right.
And then also, this is going to sound morbid, but like, you become the butterfly and then you die and you become something new again. So
well,
it's like, and I felt like I just kept waiting for this one thing. And I know it's the cheesy quote where it's the journey, not the destination, but I feel like it clicked more where I'm like, there is no destination.
Yeah, there's only right here forever.
It's all movement. It's just, you never, and I'm a know-it-all, and I realize that hardcore. It's a gift to not know it all.
Well, there's a balance. You know, you understand that when you know something in relationship to understanding that how you know it is going to keep going deeper and your relationship to that is always going to change. And then also respecting the fact that it's just as valuable not to know, right? But, you know, a lot of people get caught up then in understanding how to, so what do? I just sit down, I just give up, that kind of thing. Like when you really start to get it, it's about that trustworthy process of yes and no being two sides of a third thing, being I don't know or I do know this. That's okay, because it's all about just this movement of trusting, you know, and learning and constantly being
growing.
All these things happen as a result of the process, right? So the only constant is change, and constant and change are two sides of a third thing also. So, you know, you can't name that third thing. You know, mystery schools and stuff, they do name it that, you know, so depending on who you learn under, there's a name for it, but it's more of a state of being, you know, and oftentimes people call that God, but you could call that reality too.
I guess, because I want to make sure we get into the save the world concept too.
Sure.
There's so many things I want to talk about. I guess it just really hit home, which is what you're saying too, is just that where we're at, Earth, or even just the universe, if you want to go bigger, where we're at in our stage of evolution is fine. It's perfect.
Yeah. Like, it's so interesting now, after being in the school, you start to see CEOs and all these super powerful people who actually think that they're in control. It's like really fun. It's really, really funny to me, because in some way they have control, but that's just an illusion. If you look at the big picture, nobody's in control. We're just swimming in this river.
Literally, there could be like a solar flare. We could just be done. We have no control, and that's fine. It's part of the journey is just giving up and letting go that you don't have control.
Yeah.
But really, I think what's hitting home for me is like, I mean, I'll get real, you know, you know, even like, when I go over and we have sex, you know, I think it's almost in my head to be like, oh my God, is this the right decision? Like, I'm serious though. Like I think a part of me gets hard on myself. And then I'm like, I'm where I'm at and I'm enjoying my life and I'm happy. And like, do you know what I'm saying though? Like, I'm just like, I'm at where I'm at. Who cares? And that's been part of my process, is just being like, man, you know, and it just has made me more compassionate for everyone where they're at. You know, like, and we literally had that podcast of being judgmental. I'm like, I think I was being harsh on the Kate from high school who loved the Coach purse and cared very much about like being popular. And that's almost my being like, what an idiot. And I'm like, no, that's where I was at. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
You know, I was the cheerleader girl. Cool. And I think it's just, I now look at wherever someone's at, and that's, they're just, you know, the person who's having a struggle with whatever is just as important and killing it just as much as the person who's meditating on a mountain.
Yeah, there's no chance at all that you can place judgment on something when you understand the vastness of how this whole thing works,
well,
right?
Does the butterfly look at the caterpillar being like, loser?
Maybe. But how do we know? Worry about your own damn self.
You're right. True that.
So you want to talk about saving the world?
Well, what I think's interesting is when I first met you, I had a thing where I almost wanted to save the world myself. And I remember you had a similar thing where you asked your teacher in the school, when did you stop saving the world?
For sure.
And she just stood right up over you like, bitch, please. She didn't say that, because she doesn't curse.
She sat me down like a little baby boy.
Yeah. Because I think just that whole feeling of wanting to save the world is almost, what would you call it? It's naive in a sense, or it's...
It's ignorant.
Yeah, there you go. It's ignorant, because
for sure,
really, it's what you said. Worry about your own damn self. You heal yourself, you heal the world. And if part of your mission and your thing is to go on a podcast and talk about your truth, that will heal a lot of people. Yeah. But you're not doing it to be this like, you're welcome. You're doing it just because it's what you love and you're being free.
Yeah.
Because when you're free and you shine, you're giving everyone else permission in a sense.
Yeah, because, you know, the reason why I challenged her like that, and I've always been sort of the rebel in the class, you know, that constantly challenges.
Tim, by the way, in his class is like, you're the only guy.
Only guy, yeah.
Everyone else is a woman, and in their, about 40s, 50s, 60s?
50 to 75. And then it's just me, you know, I came into the school, like, there was
My class is very different.
No one had any clue what this was, you know what I mean? Like, I turned you on to it. No, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. Best decision ever. But, you know, so I came from a certain skeptical background and a certain understanding of a hard-assed way of seeing the world. And I thought that, you know, to save the world, I thought that you had to literally save the world by feeding it. You know, like, I had these ideas. I work with these guys. They run biogeometry. Check it out. Look up biogeometry. It's fucking fascinating. It basically says that, like fish, human beings are swimming through these vibrations the same way. You know, so like fish don't really realize they're in water, just like we don't realize we're in this environment. And these guys are going around, and I think they're in Switzerland now. They just finished a project there where they set up these geometrical shapes that literally transmute the energy, where, you know, it's all shitty because of Wi-Fi and all the stuff that we're sending through the air. It transmutes that to make the environment even better than it was before the shittiness, right? So to me, I would say, oh my God, you know, this is the answer, especially when big leaders of those countries are saying, not only, you know, thank you so much for helping my economy by doing this, but even more so, my people are just happier. You know, so these are the people that I'd be reaching out to. And I said, this is what you have to do to save the world. You have to physically change things, feed this person, get rid of corruption.
Well,
over
that's
here.
What Neem Karoli Baba, the saint, would say, right? What are the things he would say when people asked what to do? He would say, be kind, feed someone. What would he
love
say?
Love everybody, tell the truth, feed people.
I love that.
Right? But feed people doesn't mean food. Feed people.
Which is so interesting because so many of my dreams are all about food lately. It's like eating and giving people food.
I mean, that's again, from like the shamanistic viewpoint, there's these things, just like numerology works, food is a symbol, and the symbol represents abstract and seemingly unconnected ideas. And the more deeper,
like exchanging something, or
it could be any, it includes all of that. And then your ability to discern, you know, when you become a mystic and a shaman or like a high priest or whatever, that's when you start to really understand how the stuff works. And you can't just analyze a dream with food from a mental level, you know. So if I'm your healer, I'm going to ask additional questions. How did you feel in your body when you woke up? How did you feel this, whatever? Because, you know, the ancients knew that we had 360 senses, not five senses. We're a full circle. We're a human mandala.
You're going off a little bit.
Okay, so we're basically, you have 360 senses available to you if you're and multiple bodies, emotional, spiritual, physical, all these different bodies. Based on how well you've integrated your understanding of reality, that's how well you'll know what that apple means in your
got
dream.
Got it.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah. So well, anyway, so keep going, but I just found that weird.
So
we were talking about the, you know, he says love everyone.
Yeah, love everyone, feed people, all that, you know, but
and tell the truth.
But again, but again, feed people doesn't necessarily mean feed people food, you know? What the whole point of what I was getting at is it's not about literally going around there and physically rearranging the world and trying to put band-aids on problems. Because if you actually go and feed some of these impoverished areas, like just like an animal that, you know, like a stray dog or something, it's going to rely on you for food. That, you know, it doesn't fix the problem.
What's that quote? There's, you can teach, you can give a man a fish, or you can teach.
It's
that thing.
Yeah, feed a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. You know, that's a reflection of the deeper level of how this work goes. Like the deeper mechanics of why things in the world are a little out of control. And since I was so hungry, so passionate, and so willing to give myself up, I was challenging everybody in high positions, including my teacher, and I pushed on her, and I realized I'm sitting here in school, and I'm thinking in my mind, I've got these hyper grandiose ideas about how I'm going to change the world based on the network and learning how this works. I popped up and I went, Brenda, when did you decide that you weren't going to save the world anymore? You're just going to teach this shitty class about mysticism and healing, you know, and about just like putting myself in relationship.
And by the way, for people listening, like our teachers are just
pure
amazing,
love.
Pure love.
Yeah.
Brilliant people. So yeah. Thought of you challenging them is crazy.
I'm in a constant state of, oh, thank you so much for being patient with me. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that you did that because look, when I went into the school, I knew you. I knew, you know, like you came in not really knowing the deal and you wanted to challenge. You wanted to see, I don't know. So I think it's really interesting how much I didn't know you at the start of the school, but I think it's interesting how your interests have slightly changed because at first, you know, your biggest thing was conspiracy or one of your biggest.
And
now it's really
for sure
more healing. How would you say it? Healing.
Well, now that for me, it's
becoming
about,
more whole.
Yeah, for me, it's about being in relationship to reality just as it is. That's the simplest way to put it. And reality itself is the most wild ass motherfucking shit anyone could ever imagine.
Get it, Tim.
And that's the difficult part for me because I really enjoy taking heroic doses of mushrooms and sitting through fucking blindfolding myself and flying through these fucking holes.
I don't know how you
do it. And talking to entities and speaking to self-replicating machines and technology and understanding how these represent archetypes of consciousness that can then be brought into the physical dimension from these higher dimensions that I prefer to reside in. The whole point, but Tim, the whole reason why I'm here, hold on, the whole reason why I'm here is to bring this stuff in. You know, so I'm being a lazy bitch in denial of something because I have a knack to be somewhere else. But that's not my role, you know, and that's my work. That's my work, and my body and everything that I'm not listening to is screaming at me to change. And,
well, what you already know, what I was going to say, which I think you already know, is I think when you stop using any kind of substance, not that you can't do it every now and then, but I have a feeling you'll be able to talk to those things without them.
And you know what the thing is? And even if it, that
all
cuts
off. Because I feel
like
you already can't. Like, remember when you stopped drinking for a month? Like, didn't you already start having?
Yeah, my big thing is truth finds a way in no matter how black.
But I'm saying I think you'll, you know, like when you met up with shamans and they're like, your brother's here and they can really.
Oh, yeah, dude, I don't need substances. Like, I don't need. Yeah. I use substances.
I'm saying I think you'll have those experiences.
Yeah.
We are. I mean, in the school, you have some pretty fucking
things. You don't need any substances for this meditation. I have the wildest shit ever. My point is I enjoy being there in general, and it's easier to get there, you know, using substances than not, you know, but I'm not always using them. I do just as much off substances as I do on them. My problem is I'm never not doing that. I'm not, you know, I don't sit down to create.
You're
to,
never
to bring
not
in
taking a break
things.
from
flying through the cosmos. That's the problem, you know. So
you leave your human body too much, kind of a thing.
Well, I'm always here, but, you know, only partially. That's the problem, you know. Everyone has their own, but that's just my thing.
That's your thing.
Everyone
yeah.
has their own thing.
Yeah.
You know? So
we all have our defense mechanisms, you know, avoidant tendencies. Mine was what my stuff, which was like using a guy and focusing on his lane. It's almost more, you know what I mean? Like, at least when you're taking a substance, it's obvious, you know. My avoidant technique was so. How would you?
Well, yes, to you it wasn't obvious. You know, to everybody else is pretty obvious.
Really? Everyone else?
Yeah. I mean, well, it depends. Well, you know, yeah.
Because I think a lot of girls do it.
Sure. And a lot of guys do it too. Mm. You know, everybody's got their own thing. What about your own damn self?
Make a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I forget what else we were saying. And then
there was something that we missed
totally
there.
Totally forget.
Saving the world, focus on yourself instead. But there is a balance, you know. I mean, that's the mastery of the trustworthy process that we were talking about. There is a real balance because there is a need to feed people, you know. But there's a right way to do it. And I say there's a right way to do it, meaning the right way is that third thing between understanding what right and wrong is and following your own path, you know? So like, if you really want to make the most difference in the world, I'd say, you know, what I've been saying lately is do what makes you feel the most alive. Deal with what's presently in front of you, in your face right now, because that's what's valuable, because it is right here.
No matter
here.
What it is.
Yes. Deal with it.
Yeah.
And you know, at the same time, try to move from the inside out to the outside in. And that's how you make your dreams your reality. But, you know, it's a process. It's a real
thing. Yeah, I think
thing.
that's kind of what I wanted to get to. I think a big thing that we talked even in class was what does it mean to be pure? Because pure isn't pure the way we view it. And we almost changed the word pure to authentic. So, and I want to link it back to the first thing with Bhagavan Das, where it's like everyone has their own path, including Bhagavan Das. Like, he's doing his path. And, but I guess to me, I'm looking for people who feel authentic. You know, if that makes sense.
No, I love that. I love that. Because you can always say, because someone could be the biggest fuck up in the world. And some of them I'm good friends with, and it's because they're authentic. It's because they're exactly where they are. Yep. They're not in denial of it. And if you were exactly where you are, that's when you can make the most growth. So like you're saying, sometimes you do have to hit rock bottom, right? You don't have to.
Yeah.
You know, but you hit rock bottom because every time you put off some sort of a little thing that you don't want to deal with, eventually it's going to become a crisis, you know? So maybe you have
to. It's kind of like owning your shit in a sense. Like if you're going to. I mean, you don't have to. Some people, part of their process is being in denial. But I think for me now, I really strive for authenticity and being as honest with myself as I can be. And now what's coming with that is compassion to myself. Because like I said before, I'd be really hard. Like I'd be honest, but then I'd be hard on myself. Like, oh, why are you doing that behavior? And now I'm just like, this is who I am. This is what I want to do. And great, celebrate it.
Yeah, it lets you be there for everybody else. Exactly where they are.
Well, it's going to help me be less judgmental, which has been a thing, and control-y. Okay. So.
Any other topics on the agenda?
No, I think, what time do we have to be out of here, by the way?
I thought we were going long.
I don't know. You said that Race Wars is coming after us, so I didn't know how.
Who's coming in? Yeah. They bumped Rabbit Hole to 6:30.
Oh, is that why you got bumped?
Yeah. That's fine. I mean, because we always tear the roof down when we fucking come in here.
Are we going to have a Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole and Race Wars war?
We just had Caitlin Bailey on the last two episodes, so I still have all of my notes from that I prepared for those shows, for today's shows.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah, whenever we have a guest on, we don't get to anything, so, you know. Well, so this is it.
Yeah, I guess we got to wrap. Right. I'm glad we had an exciting ending to it.
All right.
Thanks for joining me, Tim.
That was my pleasure.
This was awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
I'm glad we got to talk a little bit about the breakup. That was very cathartic for me.
Yeah, good.
I would have done the whole fucking hour on it, but...
Seemed like you were pretty resistant to it.
Oh, really?
About? Yeah, it seemed like you didn't want to talk about it.
No, I just didn't want to talk about you kicking game.
Why not?
Because then I seem like one of those...
it takes away from your power, Kate Wolf? Oh.
Because it wasn't like... I guess... I don't like the thought of me being like giggly... Like, you know, when a guy kicks game.
You were giggling like crazy.
I know, but it wasn't because this random dude, like, I don't get like that with random people. It's because I love you. That's why I'm like.
Because I charmed the pants off you.
Tim, I've come and boned you without you charming me.
Yeah, but I didn't wake you up.
Okay.
From an hour.
Wow, your ego loves that you did that, huh?
No, I love poking at the
poking.
We're in the men's locker room here. Yeah.
Stop. I don't want to be in the men's locker
room. I'm sorry.
Damn it.
I meant that.
This is
honestly
why Chad and I didn't work, Tim.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm out of the men's locker room.
Yeah.
Can you meet me in a fucking mountain?
Still in the men's locker room.
I don't want to be in the
men's
locker room.
I'm bringing you into the you wherever you go, the men's locker room follows.
Fuck this.
So email me at thelibertymen @gmail.com or text me 845-893-4830.
And Tim is still doing numerology blueprints for $50.
Yeah, actually, they're $50 now, but they're probably going to go up in price because they take me fucking forever, and it's a ridiculous amount of information. And like I said before, the symbols, the way numerology works is...
boring.
The moment you're born, a vibration is sent out.
No.
I translate that into numbers. Those numbers tell me who you are. It's fucking awesome. So hit me up, and I'll do your blueprint for $50 before the price raises.
Get it now, master salesman, while you can. Don't miss out, guys. And if you want a tarot card reading from me, it's $30, which is way cheaper than his blueprint. And you can contact me.
Boring.
You can contact me at kwolf2f27@gmail.com. If you have, if you just want to contact me and Joe, aka me, invasionofprivacypodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening.
Check out Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole, same network.
And visit us at Brooklyn Bazaar.
Thanks.
Bye.